Welcome back to We Got Goosebumps, a podcast dedicated to the landmark horror series for children, written by Arl Stein back in the 90s. I'm your best bud who likes grilled cheese but doesn't love grilled cheese. Okay, you missed the fucking point, man. Like, you, it was a cold grilled cheese sandwich. That's bullshit.
Every day.
Every day. Every day. Like,
but if you love it, you'll eat it. If you love it, you'll eat it.
Dylan.
If you love your dad. I'm your number one enemy who freaking hates how tall you are. You're too tall, you big stork.
I mean, I feel like that's a little hateful, considering the fact that I am, I think maybe a foot taller than you.
Yeah, seriously. You're storkly, in a handsome way.
Okay, so this is how this is going to go. That's great.
In a handsome way?
In a handsome way. I once was trapped on a Greyhound bus by my own fault. It's not like I accidentally wandered onto a Greyhound bus. It's like, oh my goodness, what's this? And it took off, and I paid money to be there. The trapped part comes in when a gentleman sat next to me, and from Durham, North Carolina to Nashville, Tennessee, on a Greyhound, I was next to this gentleman who implied violence with a knife, said I was cute in an ugly kind of way.
Wait, that doesn't even make sense. How old were you?
I was 22? 23?
I bet you were cute, but in a cute kind of way.
Yeah, that's, well, to be fair, I had actually, I'm not joking, before I was going to go on this trip for various reasons, I was like, I buzzed my hair, so I had like a buzz cut, so I wouldn't look pretty.
Because
I've watched, apparently I was cute in an ugly way, which is an unfortunate thing. But you saying that I was storkly.
Storkly handsome. That doesn't mean you're tall. Tall and good, tall, dark, and handsome, like a stork. Or like a certain breed of goose.
Like a goose bump, for instance.
Hey.
Speaking of which, we're at number 12 in the series, which is called Be Careful What You Wish For, Ellipses, which was released in October of 1993. We'll get into it. This book is kind of a sore spot with me a little bit.
Oh, no.
How do you feel about bully genies? Like, fucking ironic genies who like, you make a wish and it rebounds on you, or it's really fucked up, or like in the monkey's paw, like as a trope or a concept, like, what's your opinion on that?
I've never been asked my opinion on this. I haven't had time to process it. I will say, I think it's fun for
30 seconds.
I think it's fun for a second. I love some wishes. I love some genies, but I don't like it when it's just all, I don't like it when it's mean. All right. I like a couple of them to at least come true. Be good. You know what I mean? Don't be tricking me always. Don't use your wordplay. Don't use my words against me. That's what I wish. I wish you to not use my words against me. Wish number one.
Did you wish for more wishes? Because I would have done that first.
That's always the first thing you do. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess this was like a human person who's granting these wishes. So that'd be kind of fucked up to like keep her on the line forever. Just be like, hey.
I mean, and she's going to bully me with my own wishes?
That's true. She was kind of a dick about it. Okay, we're sorry. I'm sorry. It's just, I hate ironic wishes. Like, it's so annoying. Because you can usually, it's telegraphed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the monkey's paw, have you read that story, by the way, which is the kind of the cursed wish story in a lot of ways, at least in pop culture.
I've not read it, but I get the reference enough, yeah. I think.
It basically set the tone, because the first wish, it's like this older couple, they make a wish that says like, we wished we had like a $10,000. Oh, yay. And then their son dies in an industrial accident and his insurance pays out $10,000. Bum, bum, bum. So then weeks go by and the mom is just like, I want to make a fucking wish. The husband's like, don't you do it. And she's like, I'm going to do it. And he's like, don't you fucking do it, because that fucked us over the first time. What makes you think it's going to be good the second time? She's like, I wish our son was back.
And they just brought back a big old lifeless dead old corpse of a son, I bet.
What's great about this story is how this part plays out, where they just hear him coming, like, up the front porch in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
like, because it's hours before he shows up, because he doesn't show up right away. And then the dad realizes what it is. Like, it's not their son. It's been their son who's been in the ground for, and like, the sounds of it trying to open the door and coming up the stairs. And, like, he just frantically going for the monkey paw as his wife is like, no, don't, he's back, he's back. Like, it's just fucking horrifying. But so that's kind of where we are today. Like,
yeah.
There's the Simpsons story, obviously, that had the monkey paw episode of the Treehouse of Horrors with Ned Flanders actually getting everything that he asked for.
Well, it's because he's pious.
It is true. And the monkey's paw is a good Christian. so it's kind of a popular trope, and it's irritating. It irritates me. I don't like it. Not because it's a popular trope in this kind of weird little subgenre, but it's just, I don't... It's so obnoxious. Like, why give someone wishes?
We'll get to it. Let's just get to it.
Yeah. But so I kind of went into this story as an adult with that chip on my shoulder. And also as a child, I didn't like this book as a child.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead, but it's not my favorite of the books. But it has some fun moments.
It does. I don't want to be too much of a downer, but I might get a little heated.
Okay. Do you have any wishes? Wish upon a star? Anything come true for you there?
Carried meal beans home in a jar? No. None of my wishes or dreams ever came true.
Same. Although, one thing did happen to me that I always equated to a wish coming true when I was a small boy. You know, normally I come in here with trauma, but today I'm going to tell you a good story, all right?
Oh, God. I still feel this is going to be couched in trauma. Like,
no, come on. So we were only able to afford one baseball. And it was a good baseball, right? And I'd been playing with it out in the yard. And what I would do was, because I lived adjacent to a farm, you know, those big old round circular hay bales. They were all over there. And they made great target practice for a baseball. And I mean, like, the center of the bale is like right kind of like knee high for a good strike zone. So I'd practice pitching on those things all day long. And one time I threw it, lost the baseball. I searched. I couldn't find it. I looked everywhere for that baseball. And a couple of days go by, and I'm like, man, I wish I had that baseball. And I was doing like a real serious wish. And I was probably like 9 years old. I was doing some serious wish. And like the clock struck 11. The clock was 11:10. I was like, all right, let's just fucking wait. All right, 11:11. I wish I could get my baseball back. Whew. Get it in there. I'd see a bright star. Fucking, hey, bud, get my baseball back. And one day I went outside and I said, today's the day. I'm going to do it. I could feel it. I felt reinvigorated. I was like, man, I think the wish ghosts are on my side today. And I went outside. because I really wanted to throw some baseball. And I don't know why I did this, because thinking about it now, it's kind of terrifying. But I got on the ground and like reached way, way far under one of the hay bales.
Oh, my.
And
Travis.
Grabbed the baseball, pulled it out, and I had it. How I didn't get mauled by a giant mountain rattler was beyond me. I didn't have that concept.
I am not scared of snakes. I enjoy snakes. If I see a snake, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to just pick it up. I like snakes.
I put the end of it in my mouth. I love them.
I would never, ever, ever, especially where you live, reach into a place where like rattler, copperhead, like
all of them.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Even just like a black snake.
I know.
They'll bite the shit out of you.
I didn't have any, I mean, the wish was going to come true that day. I just knew it. But I got my water.
What if you reached under there and just pulled out a ball of snake?
I know. Well, yeah, I'd be a different person today. But I pulled out instead a waterlogged baseball that was completely unusable. But it's a happy story. I got my baseball. Yay! We did it.
Did you ever think to yourself that you burned your only wish on that?
I did. You know, there's this other time. We used to get these like wildlife things in the mail, like my mom signed up for some shit, and you could scratch off a thing in one of them and get like the full prize. It was like the full deck, the full book of all the different animals that came with all the fun facts in a big binder. And I remember
I had that same fucking thing.
Yes.
Or did you get it?
Well,
did you get it?
I was getting ready to do the scratch off, and I remember thinking and saying to myself, man, I never win anything like this. I wish, my one wish, my big wish, even though I just found this baseball, I was getting real selfish with the wishes. I wish it's more than anything in the world that I win this thing. And then I did, and it was cool. But then after that, life kind of went downhill, and I was like, I should have saved that wish.
I will say, Travis, I think that Scratcher was
winning
always
it.
Going.
Yeah, everybody's yeah. winning it.
Because I also had that binder. I treated that as if I was building my own personal encyclopedia of animals. We had an actual Encyclopedia Britannica set. The whole fucking thing, even the ones that are just like the appendices for the rest of the set.
Amazing.
The medical volumes that had some pictures.
So smart. Oh, yeah, they had the titties and the boobies in it.
Yeah. Well, I was... sorry. You don't... You forget who you're talking about. I like looking at the one they have the transparencies so that you could peel back the layers of a person and see the different organ systems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was... Yep. That was the thing. But yeah, I had the wildlife thing. Felt like a real champion. Like a real champion.
Well, I'm just saying you might actually still have another wish in your back pocket. So you didn't actually burn through. Because we all have two wishes. Most of us, unfortunately, burn them instantly. Because the first time you think, oh, man, I wish I had like fucking $5. And then like 6 months later, you get your wish.
Yeah.
But like you don't tie it together. Like because you didn't say right now or.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fair. Well, I got that baseball, so I've got one to burn, perhaps. But I wish we could get to the goddamn cover part.
Well, you know what, Travis? If wishes were horses, then you'd be riding, because guess what we're talking about?
The cover. The cover of the book. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Horses. So, looking at the old cover here, we're on the old goosebumps.fandom.com wiki. Which you can find down in the show notes. Let's get it kicked off with the original here. Not drawn by our pal Tim Jacobus. He took a break here and was on vacation that month. Can you believe it? It was actually done by a one, and I love this name, and I've never heard it before, and I barely know how to pronounce it. Stanislav Fernandez.
Oh, Stanislav.
You got it? You've heard that? It's common.
I've actually heard that name before, yes.
Interesting. Well, I have not, but...
I believe Stanislav was an acting teacher.
Okay. Well, was not drawn by Tim Jacobus. Instead, it was drawn by Stanislav. We've got a... I don't know. It's okay. Doesn't really do a lot for me.
It feels a little too... and I get why, I guess. Like, it's... it feels... No. I was going to say it feels too ethereal. It feels too flat.
Yeah, it's kind of basic.
Like the hands on the woman, like, which is funny because there is no crystal ball in this that I'm aware of.
There's a red ball.
She just
ball.
Refers to... but it's not.
It's not
what
on a stand.
What does she call herself again? Clarissa?
Clarissa, yeah.
No, what is she? She called the crystal queen or...
Yeah.
But anyway, it just seems very flat. Like the face of the girl who's, I'm guessing supposed to be Samantha, Sam, who's supposed to have a ponytail coming off the side of her head, which made me think like, I wonder why you get bullied so much. Dylan does not promote bullying at all. That's a shocking thing for Dylan to say.
Bullying.
And
also, I don't understand. There's no mention of a crack in it during the book. I don't know why it's cracked and seeping smoke. I don't know what's going on with that. Yeah, it's strange cover. It's not the best in the catalog, that's for sure.
Well, if we skip ahead to even the British one, they get the color right, but it's also cracked.
Yeah. What the fuck's up with that?
But that... Well, that one, I think they're trying to do a thing with the bird on the cover, which is a... I don't know what kind of fuck... It looks like a hummingbird mixed with, like, a kingfisher or something. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Yeah.
It might be a real bird. It could be a real bird, but it's a very colorful bird.
It kind of gives away the ending a bit.
A little bit. And then there's just... And also, why would... Let's say you drop your crystal ball into a vat of tapioca, as what's happened here.
Not going to shatter from the top, is it?
No. Or shatter at all, really. Yeah. Like, what the... And if the bird's supposed to be coming out of it, which is why I think like maybe it's supposed to be like hatched out of there, but why is it coming out there? Why wouldn't it come out where it cracked open? I don't get any of this cover, once again. I'm sorry, we skipped to the British one. but it's just...
Yeah, I don't get the British. They're off again.
It's making me angrier than normal. Like,
it's not, they're not, it's not right. It's, you know what? The jelly has to go. They got to get rid of it, but they'll keep it. I'm sure we'll see it every time. The French are doing something fun, though. They have a spooky witch-like woman holding what is a red ball, as described in the book, in the dead of night, making a creepy face. That's so far the best.
Yeah, it's definitely... You know what? That woman also looks like she might be related to the mask in the haunted mask from last time. Like, because that cover had the corpse-like man, but his face looked very similar to hers. Maybe they're related, you know? Maybe he's like a long-deceased great-uncle to her. Yeah. But she's got her crystal ball, which looks like a dodgeball kind of situation there.
Yeah.
Or kickball.
And then in terms of like other international covers, none of the rest of them really stood out to me. I don't know about you.
They're okay.
I mean, again, they all kind of go for the ball and the witch, because that is the scariest thing in the book. But then if we fast forward to the 2005 reprints, that one is actually drawn by Tim Jacobus. And I think I like the style and like the detail that he always adds, but I'm still not digging. And it's just the book's fault. It's the story's fault. The story doesn't give him enough to make a spooky cover out of.
Yeah. The only thing that you could really have made spooky is the ending, the twist ending.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So,
and for some reason, the I guess it's supposed to be Clarissa on the cover of the 2005 version. It just looks like a young Crystal Gale.
I think it's definitely better than the first one, but it's also... And, like, Clarissa's not even evil, necessarily. Like, I feel like Clarissa is probably not human or whatever, but, like... Well, because I think she's probably, like, some sort of spirit thing, because, like, she kind of exists outside of time in some way, because she, like... Whatever.
We'll oh, get yeah, that that's right. Too. That's a good point, yeah.
But, so I don't know that she's actually, like... I feel like she's... If she's human, she's something, like... I don't know if you know of Baba Yaga from...
Oh, yeah.
Like just some like a very 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 powerful witch,
yeah,
or like a fairy spirit. I don't fucking know.
But this one captures a lot of the details. You got the purple handbag that's referenced a lot, but the ball is not red here. Come on, Tim, you're the best at getting the details down. You flopped on that one, but it's okay. I think aesthetically it's the best. It's just not scary at all. Well, that's enough of cover stuff. I think
we're gonna start off by saying one of the things that drove me crazy as a child were the bullies in R.L. Stine's books, because so many times, instantly, just want to murder them.
He writes good assholes.
They're so annoying. Like, I just... Oh. So we've got Sam. Sam is our hero. She's, I'm going to say, not because of the math mistake we see later. You get up to the front of the chalkboard, you start writing stuff down, you throw yourself off. I'm assuming it wasn't just 4 + 2 and whatever. I think it was probably part of a larger equation, and she's rushing, she's nervous. Maybe that's not, I'm saying she's dumb for a lot of things that she does throughout this book. Drop out of the basketball team.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do, you can just... Be not on it.
Yeah, be not on the team.
I know that's not good grammar, but be not on that team.
I say we make t-shirts for the podcast that says be not on it.
Can we?
Yeah. Consider it done.
Oh, great. I hope our 4 fans will love them. And then we won't be on the shirt. That'll be the irony. Like, we won't have...
Yeah, it'll just say be not on it. But maybe we'll rip off like a Goosebumps font. That way people kind of get the idea.
Yeah.
Be not on it.
So Sam is, she's, we get the feeling she's in the awkward stage of, being a teenager, which is basically from the moment puberty happens until you become an adult.
Yeah.
Or sometimes never stops.
Slightly beyond and just up forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Still to this day. And so she sounds kind of gawky, tall, knocks over people, falls over on her own, apparently very clumsy. She's a klutz. She's known for it. And unfortunately, there's a gal named Judith Bellwood who's kind of a dick.
Oh yeah.
Maybe an asshole.
Full asshole.
Who just enjoys like tripping her. Just straight up, like, it's not even a gag, really. It's just straight up just tripping someone. So Sam takes like a dive right in the middle of math class. She's walking up, going up to that board to do puzzles, and then goes down immediately in front of her. Everyone also laughs. That's the other thing. Arlstein's universe, everyone is a dick.
Yeah, like, no one has empathy or compassion. Everyone laughs at you.
When Carly Beth was just repeatedly being harassed by her friends, everyone's just like, well done. Ah, the old tarantula bite. Ah, that's a great one.
Oh, the teachers always get in on it, too. That's how he drives home the embarrassment. He's like, and even the adults were laughing.
I could see Sharon, my math teacher, because in this school, they all refer to
that. Did that bother you like it did me?
It bothered me in the sense of just like, why are you making me work harder to remember adult names? Before it was so much easier when it's just like, Mrs. Johnson, that's the teacher. Now it's just
put
like,
some respect on it. Jeez.
Yeah. Like, and why is Sharon doing? Oh, Sharon's the teacher. Right. Yeah. So
Sharon, Ellen, and Daphne were three names I didn't want to have to track.
Yeah. And they're also, he didn't differentiate like ages. They're like picking names that would be more suitable for like adults in the next generation.
Yeah, like a Gretchen and a Gormley.
Yeah, something like or Bertrand.
Bertrand.
Bertrand. Or
that's old.
Bert. Gus. Well, Gus. Oh, Gus would be a good.
Yeah.
But he goes by Augustus. Like he's actually like, my name's Augustus and we're going to learn about chemistry. I'm just like, okay.
I love that guy. I love him already.
Augustus. But, so Sam takes a dive, and she just has to walk it off, basically, and because, like, what do you do? Like, are you going to be the person who's just like, well, Judith tripped me, because then you turned up. Everyone's turned against you now, like, because, oh, now you're a narc, and you're clumsy. Like, we see how you play on the court. You don't have to blame other people for your klutziness. So she gets up to the board. Obviously, she's flustered. She's also not good at math, and so she makes a pretty basic mistake, but again, we'll excuse it. But then, like, Sharon, the teacher, I fucked this up because, again, I went for the first name that was on there and not the teacher's name. But then while she's up there, she doesn't just make the mistake and the teacher's just like, oh, Sam, I think you made an error in line two there. Instead, we get Judith saying, like, she can't even do math because she's a fucking bird! She doesn't say it like that, but she calls her bird because that's her last name. Later, we'll find out that she also calls her stork. Well, we find that out now, but she doesn't call her stork till her face. Until later.
That's right.
It's a big moment. So Sam is getting, like, I feel like, second period, pretty early in the day. I think it's before lunch. So
definitely before lunch.
Yeah, so she's fucking pissed, but she's like, you know what, just keep it together. It's one class. Math class wasn't going to go well anyway because it's math class. So we're just going to power on through this. But then we find out that she's hoping just to get to home ec because she seems to enjoy home ec. But that's where it's going to get real ugly. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, really? This isn't...
It's not much of a bum, 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 but we have to do it.
Okay.
You know?
It's just... bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. Also fun, I guess, I don't know, I almost said fun fact, but I was like, it's not really that fun of a fact. This one is written, interestingly, from a past perspective, which now makes me question the ending.
I think, give me one second, I'm going to use the power of scrolling. I think she turns it into present tense, or she doesn't. R.L. Stine writes it in the present tense when the ending's happening. Let me see. No, that's past tense also.
Huh.
I guess she just has a human brain? Oh, that's horrible. Oh, is that the fucked up part of the wish? Like, it still fucks Sam over?
Yeah, maybe. That's weird. We're getting ahead of ourselves yet again. Folks, we can't wait to get to the ending of this book. All right, so it's all written from the past tense, as if Sam is telling you this like it happened somewhat recently. But anyway, now we've had our bad math experience. All right, we're in chapter two. Sam's pissed. She's got to go to lunch. Then she's going to go to home ec, right? For some reason, we have a little bit of time here to just describe the home ec teacher, even though we're not going to home ec yet. But her name's Daphne. That's what we call her. We don't call people by last names. No. Daphne. She's described as being just heavy and jolly, and she eats all the treats they make in home ec. Don't know why that detail was necessary, but it's in there.
Well, that was just a rumor that she had them making all these treats, and she's such a big fat lady that she is definitely eating all their baked goods.
Of course. And good for her if she is. I mean, that's
she also smart. Said that she had multiple chins. Did you put that in there? Because that was a bit. I don't think Daphne really deserved.
She didn't deserve that much of a description about her weight. I agree. No. But so Daphne's real fat. And but before that, we're at lunch. Okay. Now, Judith's fucking talking shit. All right. She's at lunch fucking talking shit. She's like, Bird tried to fly in math class. It's because you tripped her, you asshole. You tripped her, made her fall down. That's why she flew.
Mm-hmm. Try and trip a real bird and see if it can fly. I bet you not. It's unfair to expect Sam to fly when she's not even a bird.
I feel like you kind of made a point there, but I'm not sure. So Sam is eating lunch, and her friend Corey, he comes over and joins. And a little bit of she thinks Corey's kind of cute. He's nice to her. They hang out.
I think Corey's DTF too, or whatever you do. Down to French.
Each other's face.
They're 12, so, that's also
Well, they're down to hold hands.
Down to friendship.
There you go.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit there where the R.L. Stine kind of talks up the chemistry between them, but they're pretty good pals. Corey's actually a pretty good dude. But he hates grilled cheese, much like Dylan did right when we started. He hates it. I don't know. Maybe he didn't start out hating it, but now he hates it because his dad packs it for him every day. It's cold, makes the bread soggy. It's weird. And every day, no matter what Corey says, his dad's always packing that.
I don't understand why you're defending a cold grilled cheese sandwich. That's unacceptable.
I was just happy to get bread, man. I don't know why you gotta...
Oh, God.
But anyway, that's the whole thing. We're establishing that the lunch, as usual, not great for anybody. He starts talking to Sam. She says she's upset. He's like, I know. But just don't murder Judith, okay? Just don't murder Judith. Calm down. Sam calms down. He's always good about trying to calm her down. And the conversation turns into basketball. Now, as Dylan alluded to, there's no reason for Sam to really be on this team. The coach, who we just named Ellen... We don't say Coach Ellen. We just say Ellen. It's weird. Coach Ellen wanted Sam on the team because she's tall. That's the only reason. Dylan, this happened to you as a kid. You were a tall young boy. Yes. Did a lot of people come up to you and be like, hey, won't you play basketball?
Yes. Up until, I think by middle school, children had realized that as Sam finds out, tall ain't all. And I have had that said to my face as a child. Because I was not good at basketball as a child, as a youth.
Yeah.
Well, many sports, to be honest with you.
There you go. Well, Sam... Very much, admittedly, a klutz. And Judith, her enemy here, is a total hotshot on the team. So, despite the fact that they don't get along, they do play on the same basketball team. And Sam fully admits she's awful and she hates it. Don't know why she keeps playing, but she does. Now, Corey takes this opportunity to kind of build Sam up a little bit. He's like, look, so what? Judith's good at basketball, but you're smart, you're funny, you're generous. And she's like, aw. But then he like takes some of her chips. He's like, you let me steal your food. And she's like, oh, that's shit. She gets kind of friend zoned. But now it's time for home ec.
I think I like Corey the most out of all the kids in this book.
Yeah, of all the kids of any book, he seems.
Yeah.
He's always supportive. Yeah. Right? He's always ready to go. So now it's time for home ec. And they're making some messy tapioca pudding. There's no other way to make it. It's going to be a messy thing. In the middle of making this pudding, what you know, Dylan, frickin' Judith pretends to trip, right? Sam for real got tripped earlier. Judith pretends to trip while carrying this mixing bowl of pudding, dumps it on Sam, gets her Doc Martens all covered in pudding. And then she has the fucking audacity to go, oops. Oh, my God.
It's funny because at the end of the book or near the end of the book, Judith also starts pretending to trip. And fall over and stuff. So it's funny that we're getting there.
It does come back to get her, and that's a good point.
I'm going to say right now, while I don't support violence, I do 100% agree with what Sam's about to do.
I notice this is two books in a row where we get kid on kid strangling. It's nuts.
Mathis, inspired by a real life school incident, he's just like, my two boys, always strangling.
Always. Well, Sam, in reaction to this, because goddamn, you just don't get a girl's Doc Martens filthy. She roars, so says the book, basically explodes in anger and goes for Judith's throat. Starts strangling her. God, why you? I think of Homer Simpson. Why yada? And Judith is she's fighting for her life. She starts pulling Sam's hair. She's struggling. She tries to scratch at her face. Let me go. You know, can't breathe. You killed me. Well, Daphne, big old Daphne. She comes from, I mean, R.L. Stein wrote it like this, okay? I'm just a reporter. Like,
do you see me read the script and you're just like, yep, Dylan got to that one.
Big old jolly Daphne runs in and pulls him apart. She boxes out like a power forward, separates him, gets in the middle. All right? Sam is, I mean, obviously, you know, probably not one to fight quick. She's embarrassed by that. She's embarrassed by her anger, embarrassed by her Doc Martens, embarrassed in all these different ways. Angry, just runs out of the room. And she thinks as she's running out, she goes, if I had three wishes, they'd all be to destroy Judith. And then she says, little did I know, I'd get my wish. All three of them. Dum, dum, dum. Chapter 3.
So they're forced to do the apology thing. Otherwise, they'll get in trouble. And like Daphne's like, listen, you can either shake hands and make up, or I could put you both in the oven. Make up your minds. So they shake and make up, although I believe Judith's apology was somewhere along, I'm sorry I got so fucking mad that I accidentally dropped shit on you, fuckface.
Something like that.
It, like, Judith literally said, I think, like, I don't know why I got so upset about the accident. And just like, okay.
I fucking hate this girl.
And then it even turns out that she's mad that she didn't accept the apology that wasn't even a real apology. Judith is a monster. Like, in a way we haven't seen since Night of the Living Dummy. Like, because those two girls were actually serial killers in the training. I'm more convinced than ever that at least one, if not both of them, murderer. But Samantha's, like, she needs to work out some stress. So even though she knows that when she goes to baseball practice, you know what sport I like better? Basketball practice. I'm going to just change it to baseball practice. So
it's not going to make sense later.
Yes, it will. When they can't run the bases because they're too tired or hustle to get that ball. Okay, fine.
Get that baseball rebound?
Yeah, hit that baseball rebound. And all those foul shots that they take. But Sam's going to like just run out the frustration because she just really wanted to finish the job and strangle out Judith, but like she couldn't get it done.
Literally says that. I really wish I could have finished like, you know, when you finish strangling someone, they're dead, right?
Oh, she knows. She knows. So then they they have to do a scrimmage.
There you go.
Scrimmage.
One of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've said like six other things. Like, is which one of them's right? A rumbridge. So they're going to do a rumbridge. Which is when the girls have to split up into two teams of equal size and go head-to-head to the death, apparently, because Sam immediately takes a knee to the chest from Judith. Now, I understand in basketball, as in any sport where people are running at each other in high speeds, accidents happen if you collide. And this is even a plausible accident.
Yeah.
The problem is, for Judith, even if this was an accident, which it could have been, can't play it off as one because you've been a dick all day.
All so,
like,
day.
What is Sam going to think? Like, oh, that you accidentally, like, kneed me in the chest so I make a honk like a sick seal. All right.
Great quote in the book. That was a great quote in the book.
I'm going to see, like, all right. So what does a healthy seal sound like? That's like that arf. Like the arf arf. That's the general. Like, so what's a sick seal? Is it like, morf? That sounded like a seal about to vomit, so I think that's good. And then, perfect. Like,
you nailed it.
Then everything blacks out, and she knew in her heart of hearts that she was going to die.
Boop. 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 Boop.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, well, I was doing a transition.
Yeah, an EKG.
I like that. Transitioned it into the bum bum bum. Yeah. Man, that's a first here on We Got Goosebumps.
I was also thinking, like, when I got to the next page, I was just like, fuck you, Sam.
Yeah. I mean, was the book going to end here? Come on. So, obviously, she's okay a few minutes later because she just had the wind knocked out of her. Although, we've all been there.
It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate that feeling more than anything in the world. Although, and I think I brought this up on another podcast, I'm a little bit nostalgic for that feeling. I've not had the wind knocked out of me in a while. And I saw a kid get the wind knocked out of him the other day at the skate park. And I was like, oh, I missed that. When he was just like, oh, I can't breathe. I just want my dad. That's an happened in a long time.
Why would you put that into the universe in a recorded medium, especially when you and I and a bunch of other people I'm going to tell about this, if they don't listen to the podcast, are going to be in a house with you?
I didn't say I wish before I said it, so it can't come true.
We are going to knock the wind out. No, we'll do it. You don't need a genie for that one. We'll punch you.
You guys will fuck around and kill me. I don't want that to happen. Anyway, she's okay. And surprisingly, Judith, maybe trying to make it look less like it was on purpose and more like an accident, she volunteers to walk Sam to the locker room, gives the old formal apology. And Sam still just can only think about strangling Judith by the throat. And then this is where Judith gets real angry that Sam doesn't accept her apology. Why don't you just fly away, bird? Which is her favorite insult, which doesn't seem like an insult to me. It's not that bad.
I mean,
fly away, bird.
It gets to Sam, though, so that's all it needs to do.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, if it's all the time, it makes sense. Yeah. But in general, it's not the worst thing. I think calling her a stork is probably worse.
Well, you've got to hold that in the reserve. That's like using the C word. Like, you don't want to, like, just whip that out every 5 seconds. Like, you know.
No, you're right. You really know how to insult people. That's a good call. So, Sam, once again, fuming, right? She's got to get this frustration out. So she just hops on her bike after practice and angrily rides. I don't know how you angrily ride a bike. I'd love to see it.
Oh.
I
can show you how to do. I'm a very angry person. Like, in terms of, like, I need to get my frustration out while doing things. Like, I'm actively angry. So, like, you know, if I'm angry and I'm walking, you know. If I'm doing the dishes and I'm angry, you know. Like, it's just like, I'm just gonna have to put these books away. So, like, when you ride angry, you white knuckle it. You know, right. I imagine. I've never learned how to ride a bicycle, but you white knuckle it, and you just like, and if you see like a little kid, you might not swerve. As soon as you, like, when you should, you might wait a little bit just so he feels the wind. Like, I could have killed you. That's how you ride a bicycle angrily.
Put it in a high gear and go uphill a lot so you can pump more and you look like
you're... And you, like, and then you're just like, just ask me if I'm having trouble getting up this. I'll fucking rip this nose. Like, that's how you do it angrily. If you need any more advice, like, you let me know.
Thanks. Yeah. And if, yeah, please reach out to Dylan. You can email the show if you want other ways to express your anger doing mundane activities. We got goosebumpspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's right.
Which we've never checked. We should check it once at least. But she rides her bike aimlessly toward a forest. No better place. I can't think of a better place to ride a bike is in the middle of the woods where there's things in the way of riding a bike.
In the rain.
But she's mad. I get it.
Oh, yeah.
She's cooling off. But while she's riding this bike, she's been riding for a few minutes out in the middle of nowhere, and then out of nowhere steps out a woman. Woman, get out of the way. I'm trying to ride my bike. I'm mad. The woman doesn't want to move out in the middle of nowhere. She's standing there in the rain, looking real out of place. We have a little description of the woman here in the book. Sam says, I squinted at her as the rain began to fall harder, pattering on the pavement around me. She wasn't young, and she wasn't old. She had dark eyes, like two black coals on a pale white face. Her thick black hair flowed loosely behind her. Her clothing was sort of old-fashioned. She had a bright red, heavy woolen shawl pulled around her shoulders. She wore a long black skirt down to her ankles. Her dark eyes seemed to light up as she met my stare. She looked confused. I should have run. I should have pedaled away from her as fast as I could. But, like, which one? Why should you have ran? Why shouldn't you have just pedaled your bike away? Why run? Why leave the bike? Anyway, she says, if only I had known. But I didn't flee. I didn't escape. Instead, I smiled at her. Can I help you? I asked. Dum, dum, dum.
Wait, why is that a dum, dum, dum? I mean, other than it's the end of the chapter, I guess.
It's the end of the chapter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Also, you can kind of get why, like, the drawings are kind of this lady are kind of weird, because like, she's neither young nor old. Like, come on, man. How do you draw that? How do you draw someone?
She's 35?
Yeah, she's exactly 35. Like, you know how that looks. We're not that far off. We look neither young nor old.
That's what I'm saying.
But she says she's lost, and I kind of...
I want to say, though, nothing says midlife crisis more like two guys reading a Goosebumps book for a podcast debating about what's old and not old.
And then reassuring each other that we're not old. We're not old. I climbed a wall this weekend, all right? I did pretty good.
Oh, yeah. You doing the climbing?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I thought it was funny when this woman who's come out of the rainy forest, the specter from the... And she's like, I just need to get over to Madison. Do you know where Madison Street is? Like, oh, you're just going to a plate. Like, it's not like, can you take me to the shed behind the old manor? Like, you know, something...
Yeah.
No, it's just like, I need to get to Madison Street. She's like, oh, yeah. That's
like something she could easily just look up.
Yeah, and like, if you can grant wishes, surely you've got like... Google, like in 1993, yeah. Like
or just be like, do you get your own wishes? Could you be like, I wish I was in Madison Street, and then just be there? Would that be a thing you could do as the wish person?
Don't worry, we'll talk about wish giving and magical people and folklore and traditions at the end of this story. So don't you worry. So
I hope we do.
It'll be an additional hour long. You don't have to be there for that, Travis. I'll just talk to the air like I normally do.
It's a bonus.
I think she said something like there's 8 blocks away from Madison Street, somewhere around there. And so it's pretty far and it's raining. But you know what? Sam's like, it's that way. But the lady's just like, no. How about you show me where it is, and grips her wrist with an icy cold hand. And this always happened to me like when I was at like working at Borders. And then someone would be like, can you tell me where the travel books are? And it's like, they're over there, sir. We can see them from where. It's like, can you show me? It's like, And then they would grip my wrist with their icy cold hands and be like, please don't touch
me. Make you walk there?
Yeah.
Why? I didn't get that part. Like, you don't even have to get on the street to be like, you don't have to be like, okay, we are now standing on Madison. You could have been like pretty far away and been like, just keep walking that way.
And make a
you
right.
Get there.
Or make a left. Or just keep...
She walks her all the way to where she's touching the pavement of the street.
Mm-hmm. Well, this
I'll
is...
that.
Oh, forget it. I'll start talking now. So the way that this story is playing out is much like traditional stories are told all over the world, actually. There's this idea of the individual, our hero or protagonist, who's being tested by some supernatural element or force. This is where like the idea of like like Jack and the Beanstalk or whatever, like he has to go through his trials and tribulations in order to bring back treasure to his family and bring them back to from poverty or whatever. Or this idea of a figure giving the passerby or stranger like an option to help or a choice to help. So like, for example, in the movie, The Green Knight, which came out a few years back, which is based off of a traditional story, I believe French, maybe English. It's a weird story. But in that story, a Green Knight is basically he's going on a journey and he keeps having these weird spectral figures or fairy folk or whatever are just like, oh no, my head fell into the pond. Can you go get it for me? And he's just like, I will get your head for you. And I expect no reward. Here's your head. Boom. And then he gets like a fucking castle for doing that. It's a way, or in Greek myth, where the gods would like visit people's houses, and if the people were nice to them, they'd get presents, and if they were mean to the gods would make them eat their own children or some shit like that.
Mm.
That this kind of concept of like Clarissa's testing Sam more than anything, like she could magic herself back to Madison Street at the corner of Main and Madison. That's where my pharmacist is. I need to go there. This spectral creature who grants wishes needs to get to the drugstore on Madison Street. But that's what I was saying. It's like Stein is pulling on centuries of tradition with this kind of magical being.
That's why you're here. You fill in all the gaps. I would have just said, I feel like I've heard stories like this before. But anyway.
I do love filling a good gap.
You give that context. Yeah, you do, bud.
Yeah, you do. So they're walking along together. I get the feeling the lady lets go of Sam at some point, because there's a part where, like, so the lady's walking along. She's holding onto like a purple handbag, or just a big purple handbag, right? Like, I felt like it's like
something. It's got to fit a grapefruit sized ball in it. Well, that's all I know.
I can put a grapefruit sized bowl in a lot of small spaces, so that doesn't really tell me much.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I would say not much bigger than that.
Okay. So, like, so maybe like that. More of a clutch, then?
More of a clutch, yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
As they're walking along, the woman's just like, I love the rain. It washes away the evil. And Sam thinks that's kind of an odd thing to say. And the lady's kinda just is. Like, has her face in the sky, and she's clearly enjoying the rain. I'll do that sometimes, too, when I'm just like, fuck it. I'm going to get wet. I might as well just, like, embrace it. Like, do you ever get, yeah. like, when you have to, like, you realize you should have brought that umbrella, but if you just keep being mad about the fact that you didn't bring the umbrella, you're just going to be mad and wet. You might as well be happy and wet.
I'm usually way too lazy to involve umbrellas, so usually that's my goal, is just get wet enough to where I'm okay with it.
I try and leave umbrellas, like I have one in my, like, my work office. I've got like six in my home office. I have one in the car. There's one by the front door because I don't like getting wet. Clarissa's just like walking down the middle of the street, station wagons just like rumming along. And Sam's just like, watch out! And like the old lady, Clarissa doesn't do shit. She's just like, just singing in the rain, Fred Astaire in it, right down the road, and the like station wagon has to swerve around her and get along the way. They finally get to Madison. Sam's wet. She's been walking her bike in the rain. She's still mad about her. She had a shit day, let's be honest.
It's been a bad day. Now she's having to walk out of her way 8-9 blocks with a stranger.
Yeah, and so...
a creepy stranger.
The stranger's just like, hey, listen, thanks for walking me down the street. As a reward... because you deserve a reward for being so kind. And Sam's like, I don't want a fucking reward. It's probably just like fucking an oatmeal cookie that you have in your little weird handbag.
And it's soggy now. It's soggy.
And it's from 2 weeks ago. Or like little butterscotch candies, but they've stuck together. So she hands you two. And she's like, what else is stuck to those candies? Put them in your pocket. And then throw it away later. That's what you got to do. But it's not an oatmeal cookie. And it's not melted together candies. It's three motherfucking wishes. And Sam's just like, man, that's about as good as nothing, so thanks. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, Sam's like, this bitch cray. Actual quote from the book, this bitch cray. And the woman insists, and then she's like, come on, give me a wish. And she even goes as far as to pull a crystal ball from that purple bag. Now, if someone tells me to make a wish and I say no, then they pull that crystal ball, I'm probably like, okay. That's all I need. I need to see one crystal ball before I'm convinced you can grant wishes. And then it starts glowing red. It's about the size of a grapefruit, as I've established. This is looking pretty legit. This is looking like a wish-granting device that you can get online today. Sam has a lot of things running through her head. She's like, okay, what's happening here? I mean, everybody wants to make a wish. Everybody wants a free wish. But she's like, is she dangerous? Is she going to pull a freaking gun out of that bag in a minute? She starts taking in her surroundings in case she's got to run. We've all been there. You've all been like, all right, if I got to get out of here, where's the quickest way I can break line of sight with this individual? But the lady keeps saying, okay, what's your wish? I just, you know, it's fine. I'll just, come on, make a wish. So Sam blurts out, because she's had it on her mind, my wish is to be the strongest player on the basketball team. Just lets that out. Kind of unfiltered, just said something. The ball glows bright. Red light radiates around Sam. Okay, that's weird. Was this ball remote activated? It's interesting. Was it batteries? Maybe a D-cell or something? She just makes one wish, though, not three. That's never actually pointed out at this point. Because you heard her say three wishes.
Yeah.
Sam makes one, and then they both kind of like, all right, so I did the thing. There's two wishes still out there that no one's talking about. I thought that was weird. That wasn't addressed.
I'm sure Sam is just like, okay, we're done?
Can I go?
Yeah, like, She's probably not thinking like, oh, I hope I get to make my two wishes now. But actually, when we find out how the wishes work later, this actually makes sense. Because she doesn't really get three wishes. She gets three attempts at a wish is really what it is.
That's a good way to look at it, yeah. So the woman then seems satisfied that someone made a wish, shoves the ball back in the bag, turns to go her way. Sam turns around, walks her way. Dum, dum, dum. What about these wishes?
So, it's dinner time. It's another R.L. Stein dinner time.
God damn, I love them. I love them. I really do. I get excited when the family's all together, we're all eating. I feel like I'm there with them.
The part that I liked was when the dad was like, do we think, there any meatballs, you think? Any more meatballs? Yeah. And like Sam's just like, he's just asking that because he knows mom's going to, there she goes. Like she's going to go get the meatballs for him because he asked if there's any left.
I did love that. That's a trick I pull a lot of the times. Mm. And it's an age old trick. It works, buddy. It works. I call it the old meatball trick, which fun fact.
Yeah, but and you know why it works? Wait, what?
Because I call it the old meatball
trick.
You got a different thing.
Yeah, I call something else the, we'll talk later. Yeah.
You're just handing meatballs to people out of a van. You call it the old meatball trick?
No. It's about body disposal. So anyway, the parents are pretty throughout this. They're not really there so much. Big bros there.
Yeah.
Like, you got Ron. Ron's actually a pretty good brother, too, actually. Like, he's not...
He's decent.
Like, he plays a bigger role, and he goes to play, like, practice hoops with her in the rain. Like, that's...
He seems typical. He's not, like, over-the-top mean to her or anything like that. He chides her a little bit, but, like... It's normal. It's a normal amount. It's an acceptable amount.
Sam is just really curious about the wish because she's just like, I want to know if the wish worked. Like, I got to figure this out. Like, maybe it worked. If it didn't work, then whatever. If it did work, then that's pretty cool. And I got two more wishes. Not really, Sam. Not really, Sam.
Not really. Yeah.
But so she's like, hey, Ron, got to shoot some hoops. Let's shoot some hoops. Meanwhile, Ron is apparently much better at the athletics than she is, except at ping pong she's better,
right? Yeah,
but he's still competitive. Like, it's still a good matchup, but she's probably gonna knock him out of the water 2 out of 3 times. But basketball, he's just like dominates. He's just like, all right, but we're playing street rules. Well, he doesn't actually say that. The dad makes him do it. He's just like, help your sister. He's like, ugh. But what's funny is, like, Ron's kind of described as like a nerd. Like a stereotypical nerd. He's got like the thick rimmed glasses, and he also likes to, like, he would rather read in his room than do sports. He's just like, I'd rather
prioritize his homework over outdoor activities. Yeah,
he's kind of an interesting character because he's not very typical, I guess, in a lot of ways. He's just kind of like, he doesn't stand out like other brothers who, like, are either borderline murderous or really monsters or twins or any other kind of crazy thing like that. Man, I'm making this chapter stretch out. There's not much that's going on here, though. So Ron's just like,
three bullets.
Let's go play basketball. How well is she going to play basketball? Dum, dum, dum.
Let's find out. Is she stronger at basketball like she wished? No, she's worse. She's fucking worse. Her first two shots, I love how it's described as missing the garage. Not the goal, not the rim. The whole building it's attached to. Not looking good. Ron, understandably, gives her shit.
I don't understand why she keeps playing. But I guess it's admirable that she hasn't given up yet. But, like, the coach needs to put her out of her misery. Although we find out Coach Ellen isn't really a coach and is just doing it for the extra bucks, which makes me think that Coach Ellen is actually, like, you know, a social studies teacher who's just like, I can coach girls basketball. Yep, that's me. And then she's just like, all right, extra 10 bucks per paycheck. And they just run around. Easy peasy.
I think that is the gist. Yeah. I don't know if she actually outright says she hates basketball, but she does admit she's very much not good at it. And then, you know, Ron gives her shit. She's been missing the garage. She chases after the basketball, freaking falls down to the driveway like an idiot, like a big old stork-looking klutz. Then she goes up for a layup later. Ron just fucking swats it like LeBron, just bam, knocks it into the neighbor's yard. And she kind of reacts, you know, kind of jokingly against her brother, but also frustrated. She's like, I wish you were only a foot tall. Oh, shit. What have I done? Did I just spend a goddamn wish? Did I just say I wish? Oh, I don't know how it works. I hope I didn't just spend my second wish to make my brother the freaking size of a fucking fox. And she thinks, no. So the first one obviously didn't come true. Look at me. I'm terrible at basketball still. This is all bull. It's not. I shouldn't be worried about this. And then she looks around. She kind of comes to, clears her mind a little bit, looks around. What the fuck? Where's Ron at? Where'd he go? Then she gasps as he comes scampering over the grass, just a foot tall, exactly as she had wished. Uh-oh, now she's got a little brother.
Dum, dum, dum. I hate you so much.
Come on. That's fucking funny. He's a little brother. Hey.
Hey. I'm gonna say this right now. This book, this Goosebumps, has some of the stupidest cliffhangers.
The worst cliffhangers by a mile.
All right, everybody. I know I didn't tell you. I didn't give you guys a clue that could have helped you figure out this next part. But I don't think there's anyone who would have figured out that it's the dog. She somehow mistakes Pumpkin, their dog, who is about a foot tall, for Ron, a human being. Even if Ron was a human being who was a foot tall, probably doesn't look like Pumpkin.
Yeah, that was rough.
Sam's super happy that her brother isn't a foot tall. Keeping in mind, she knows for a fact that she's not better at basketball. Why is she so convinced? Oh my god. I think this is where I started turning on Sam a little bit. And there's a point later on where I really turn on Sam, but here's the point where I'm just like, I don't know if I feel that sympathetic to her. I feel like things are her fault a little bit. Like
sometimes.
Judith is a monster, yes. But anyway, Sam wants to tell Ron about this lady that she's met. Ron's like, I gotta do homework. I don't want to hear about the stranger that coerced you into walking 8 blocks off your normal route and then told you that you had wishes as she waved a red ball at your face. That sounds like something to be concerned about, whether or not it's about wishes. Like, oh my god, Ron. Someone, tell a teacher. Anyway, Sam goes back inside. Phone rings. It's her boy, Corey. Corey's like, how'd basketball practice go? And like, Sam's just like, ah, fabulous. They're going to retire my number.
Ah.
And Corey's just like, ah, we both know that's not true. They'll burn it first because, woof. Next day at school, things are as they normally are. Judith is being a dick, sticks her foot out. Sam does a little hop skip number, gets around it.
Yeah, John Wick's that shit. Fuck you, Judith.
Judith is just like, oh, next time, you motherfucker, your face is gonna kiss the floor. Judith is a little harsh.
Yeah, she really, I mean, honestly, if this were a PG-13, I don't know, PG-18 book, that might be what she had said.
Yeah. Later, Judith comes up to Sam and she's like, hey, Sam, quick question for you. Just real quick question. Are you gonna be at the game tonight? You gonna be there? You know, at the game? The one you're on the team for. And Sam's like, yeah, of course I'm going to be at the game. Why wouldn't I be at the game? And like Judith is like, ah, that really sucks because I was hoping we were going to win tonight. But you here.
Burn!
I don't know if we've got a chance at beating this school, much less the championships, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know why everyone's talking like this all of a sudden.
Suddenly started talking like that. You know, another thing I thought was weird is that they are clearly in middle school. They're Montrose Middle School. They only play against other elementary schools, and they always get their ass handed to them.
Well, they were just like, they were very small for a team, but very well coordinated.
Yeah,
like,
it's always those little details. I love it.
We are spending so much time on this chapter, and nothing happens, because next, this is a pretty good part. We haven't mentioned Anna yet. Anna's kind of like, she hangs out in the back. She's just like, yeah, Judith, get her. Like, that's mostly what Anna's doing. Like,
a hype woman. Yeah.
Yeah. And her last name's Frost, so she kind of adds the frosting to things. That's how she always puts it. She's just like, Anna, she comes in, I'm going to put the frosting on this. And she's just like, hey, Sam, why don't you pretend to be sick and don't be there? Ha! And no one laughs because it's never funny.
It's never been funny. Yeah.
Anna's just like, hey, why don't you pretend you have a fever and maybe then you could stay home and take some fluids and not be at the game tonight? It's just like, we already get that you don't want her there. So these five girls, honestly, I don't think he describes more than five girls.
That's true. He does. He drops two other names later, so I think that is, I think that's it.
Yeah, so I think this comprises the bench of the team as well, as also the second bench and the third bench is all it. Coach Ellen's not very good job, good at her job, which we found out. Like, her team is terrible. And when she talks about how good Judith is, she's like, Judith can dribble. It's like, that's basic. That's like, everyone should be able to do that. Like, when she describes how good Judith is at basketball, it's like, she can dribble, and she can occasionally score points.
Yeah, doesn't indicate whether she's good at either of those things, but she can do them.
But really what Anna's little gag is really foreshadowing. But anyway, so Sam and Corey are both pissed. Corey, I think, did at this point, which is like, hey, guys, that's mean. And they're just like, shut the fuck up, Corey. And Corey's like, yes, ma'am. But Sam is just like, oh, boy, I hope the wish comes true at the game, because maybe that's when it's going to come true. Because the wish was just strongest person on the team. Maybe I have to be on the team. And then all of a sudden, I'm like a Superman. And dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, now it's game time. Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We're going to get home and how. And immediately, after tip-off, immediately, Sam gets the ball, dribbles toward the wrong basket. Ooh! Anna has to run over and turn her around. Now the both teams are laughing. Both coaches are laughing. The stands are erupting in laughter.
She has a lot of time to look around and be like, she looks over at Coach Ellen, who's just like, look, that fucking dumb. I know. Listen, she was the only other person I could find to fill the spot. What? The other coach is just like, oh, tell me about it. Like,
yeah, it's not looking good for her. It looking like the wish maybe doesn't work in real basketball games either. Sam then throws a pass. It's immediately intercepted. The other team takes it down for a wide open, uncontested layup. We're only 10 seconds in the game, and Sam looks like an ogre.
Is that good or bad?
That's bad. You know, okay. Ogres aren't good at basketball. Judith and Anna, then, as the game keeps going, they start appearing tired. Slowly start yawning. Anna yawns one time when she's dribbling down the court. Like, what the hell's going on? Everyone on the team looks like they're playing in slow motion. Some of the girls go to jump up for basketballs. They can't even leave the floor. Her whole team is just slow and plodding and sloth-like.
Oh, yeah. They're doing the whatever the thing is with the, when you, you throw the ball up in the air.
The tip-off?
And then they've got to, yeah, the tip-off. Mm-hmm. They say, like, Judith literally, like, makes a tremendous effort and doesn't even leave the floor.
Yeah.
Not even leave the floor.
Love
which
that.
Which is just, like, if you visualize that, imagine the school's basketball team can't jump off the floor.
Not good.
No.
Not good. Coach Ellen is yelling everybody to hustle, trying to pick them up. Come on, girls, let's go. Wake up. Let's go. Get fired up. Let's go. But they're yawning. They're dragging. They're not even running all the way back down the floor. It's not helping. They can barely run. And that's when Sam realizes, oh, shit. My wish has come true. Bum, bum, bum.
What follows is probably the funniest chapter in the book.
Yeah.
I kind of love this, where
I would have loved to see the, I mean, I think this does have an episode. I don't know if it goes into the basketball game, but I'd love to see the shenanigans of
that. Would be the best part of that.
Yeah,
I will say they changed the ending, twist ending, I believe, because I remember as a child being like, because I always wanted things to follow the plot exactly.
Ah, of course, me too.
But so what I like about this is, because at first I thought this was going to be like Sam's going to be like, oh my goodness gracious, this isn't what I wanted. But instead, the next chapter starts with her being like they get into a huddle and the other girls are just like, I just feel so tired. Like, I feel sick. Do you feel sick? So basically, the entire girls' basketball team has gotten mono except for Sam. Because that's basically what they're describing, right? Everyone's exhausted and fatigued and mono. All of them.
The kissing disease.
At once.
They all were DTF down to French.
And it makes sense that Sam was not invited. I mean, let's be honest. The whole team is five girls, and Sam wasn't invited to the kissing party.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad. But Sam's put together the pieces. She wished to be the strongest on the team. Instead of making her the strongest, the witch's wish made everyone else weaker. Bada bing, bada boom. Eh. But Sam decides to make some lemonade out of this lemon and just starts being the biggest asshole and is just like running up and down the front. Let's go, girls. Come on. Get it together. Like, let's get this going. Woo.
And like, I love that she's like running down the floor, just throwing it out of bounds. Because Sam knows she still sucks at basketball, just bricking it into the stands and then turn around and being like, let's go, girls. Let's keep it up. I love that shit.
She does score a point at one point, yeah, which is great.
On like a fifth rebound. I love that too. Yeah. That little detail of like, it took her five tries, but she made a basket.
Again, I'm concerned about her inability to improve at this game. Like, I feel
total
like,
klutz.
Especially if you have to be like playing the game in front of crowds. Like, I would spend actual time practicing if I knew I had to be in front of that's bullshit. I was terrible in Little League. But it is just visualizing all of this is hilarious because it's like they can't get off the ground and she's just the whole time she's like, come on, Judith, you can do it. I believe in you. But meanwhile, Judith looks at her. She's like, what are you doing? You did this to me. In her head.
Hmm.
But we do find out that Judith has some deep next-level paranoia that's a little spooky. Because yeah. She gets real a little later with Judith. But, like, Sam is, like, fucking rip shit. They lose by, I think, 28 points is what they say.
Yeah, or, by at least 20.
Which seems pretty low, actually, to me. Like, I feel like that should have been more of a blowout.
It was, like, 30-2.
Yeah, those 2 points were Sam. Sam's just like, all right, guys, better luck next time. And she's just like, she's wicked happy about this. She's just like, oh, man, I'm the best person on a shit team. That's like the best thing to be because like no like responsibilities because you're not getting anywhere. So you just get showboat. And the way that Sam only can, which is like, guys, I came out of bounds more than any other player in the history of this sport. They've checked every game ever played. Me. And Sam's getting ready to wrap things up. She's just like, hope this is only temporary, because that would suck if they're just crippled with a mysterious wasting disease for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun!
Ah, well, they're not better the next day, because Judith and Anna don't show up at school, which immediately makes Sam like, oh, fuck, now they're going to die. They miss a day of school. They're fucking dead, dude. She worries that it could just compound, like they'll just become weaker and weaker. Like she saw the beginning of it yesterday. By 12 o'clock tomorrow, they'll be grapes or raisins. They'll be dead. So she feels immense guilt and worry. And worries that she'll be a murderer, which is a pretty heavy burden for a person her age. So I imagine she's all to pieces. So she has to tell her friend about it. She's like, Corey, listen, this sub's crazy happening. I'm gonna fill you in on all this. I was riding my bike. I met a witch in the woods, and then all the girls were tired last night playing basketball. And he's like, is this a joke? Because it sounds like you're trying to tell a joke that honestly doesn't really have much of a punchline. She's still really upset. That one, he's not getting it, and two, she's pretty sure she just killed her basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Corey, being a good bro, being a good friend, tries to calm her down. He's like, look, it's okay. It's fine. Hey, if you're this worried about it, listen, I tell you what, here's a good idea. Anytime a kid's absent from school, their parents have to call the nurse and let them know why. So why don't we just run down the hallway and get the nurse to break HIPAA violation and fill us in on what's going on with those two girls. You know, maybe they called in and just said they had the flu. You know, we'll go find out. So they're like, she's like, oh, Corey, you're so smart. I'm so glad we French. And so they run down the hall. They catch the nurse as she's backing out of her nursing office because she's getting ready to go to lunch. She's just thinking lunch, lunch, lunch. That's all she wants. And they're like, hey, we're curious about Anna Frost and Judith Bellwood. They weren't at school today. Did they call in? Are they okay? And the nurse is a bit distracted because, again, she's like, these kids get out of here. I'm getting my lunch, all right? They're serving the spaghetti with the meat sauce today, and it's my fave. So won't you watch out? Oh, Judith and Anna, they're gone. What? Dum, dum, dum.
It turns out that the nurse doesn't just casually mention the deaths of children to their friends or friends. She doesn't know that they're bullied or whatever. She doesn't pay attention to them. All she does is bandage them up and send them out the door. She doesn't ask questions about the injuries they keep bringing her. The sick children, the missing children now. Oh, no. School nurse has seen too much, and she knows to keep her mouth shut. She knows to keep her eye on that bottle in her desk drawer. Just get her through the day. Get her through the day. Well, yeah, she tells them they got, like, the flu. They're too sick and weak. They can't come in. Yada, yada, yada. Seems like a lot of information. She could have said, called out sick, you dinks. Get out of my office. Got a drink. But Sam's like, well, based on that prognosis from the school nurse, they should be okay for now.
For now. But again,
what if they shrivel and die? Like,
what if? You got to consider it.
So Sam's like, I need to go find the wish lady. I'll use my second wish to erase the first wish. I'll wish away a wish.
Genius.
Which is always such a buzzkill. It's such a buzzkill.
Yeah, because you got to spend that second one to get the answer.
Right? Like, just... can you not, can we just sneak in a proviso? Like, she's just like any random politician where she's sneaking some, like, some pork in that bill.
Yeah.
Just, you know, politicians and Sam, right? Always sticking pork in the bill. So she's like, Corey, here's my plan. I'm going to wish away that wish. And Corey's like, what the, okay, let's say that that's a good idea because wishes are real now. How are you going to find her, Sam? Bump, dude, come on. Do I have to do the bump, bump, bump? Like, all he did is ask a personally, like, a very reasonable question.
They're not great cliffhangers, but we have a format, okay? We do the bump, bump, bump. We do the bump, bump, do it.
All right. Okay.
How do I know when it's my turn to talk?
That's true. Well, hold on. I'll set you up. She tells Corey her plan, but Corey turns to Sam and says, oh, shit, that rhymed. I'm sorry. That's terrible.
I like that it rhymed.
But Corey turns to her, his eyes filled with concern and worry. They'd been friends for so long. Would she ever notice him? Instead, he says the words that were not closest to his heart, but the ones that he should ask. How are you going to find her, Sam? Do you think she's still on Madison Street, like just waiting in the rain? Because that'd be totally stupid. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, you almost forgot to do the thing that you were trying to do. So Sam, this kind of irritated me. Sam decides to go back to the woods where she first saw the woman, not to where she last saw the woman. And I think that's a flaw in logic. I think if you go to look for someone, you look for she was making her way to Madison. She was very lost where you found her. And she was making her way to Madison. You wouldn't be like, I wonder if that person's lost in the same place they were lost before. Maybe I'll go back. Maybe they're just attracted to this vortex area where they just keep getting lost over and over again. Maybe I'll go check it out. It pissed me off.
I'm not going to say this was strike two for Sam. It was strike two for Sam, for me, and being sympathetic to her plight. And strike three happens real quick after she finds the lady.
Yeah, she says, let me go back to the woods. Maybe she hangs out in the woods. Like, okay, whatever. So, before she can leave, though, because she's got this planned. She's going to leave right after school, get on her bike, run on down there. She tried to ask Corey to come, and he's like, get fucked. So she's like, her mom shows up at school. She's like, what are you doing here? She's like, today's your orthodontist appointment. You got to go. She's like, but I had a thing going. I rode my bike here. I can't. She's like, no, we'll put your bike in the back of the car. We're going to the orthodontist appointment because you might have to get braces. And it turns out Sam will need braces. God dang it. That sucks. So later that night, since she didn't get to go to the woods to find the lady, the mysterious Wiccan witch, she decides, you know what? I'm to pieces over this. I'm going to call Judith. I'm going to call and check on her. So what? She's been a total bitch. I might be killing her. You know, I might have wished her dead. I owe it to her to give her a call. And she calls, and I think the mom picks up, gets Judith on the phone. He's like, Judith's not well. She doesn't feel well. But don't talk long, Judith. Judith gets the phone, hands the phone to Judith. Judith, hi. Is this Sam? Yes, Sam. Sam, did you cast a spell on us? How did she know? Dum, dum, dum. How did she know, Dylan? Was she like a shield Wiccan? Is this a whole book of witches? Is this a witch book?
I will say this about Judith. Yes, she is a reprehensible human being at the age of 12.
Terrible person.
Very bad person. Her mom seems nice, so I'm not... Maybe the dad is just the biggest D-hole there ever was. Judith is just like, everyone else was sick. All four of us were sick. But you are the only one on the team that wasn't sick. Did you cast a spell on us? And Sam's like, talk to you later. Okay, thanks, bye. And just like... hangs up, because that's how you get out of that conversation. Yeah. When someone accuses you of casting magic on them, just hang up the phone.
And back in the day, you couldn't blame it on a bad signal, you know? You had to be like, my mom wants me to scratch the dog. I gotta go.
Oh, yeah, I there's someone on the other line. I'll talk to you later. Bye!
Oh, I gotta beep.
Oh, is that what you...
Yeah, we'd always say, yeah, I'm sorry, I gotta beep. I gotta go. Because you hear the boop.
Sam's like, I need to find this lady. Because now Judith is suspicious of me, and in her weakened state, she can do shit, so who cares? Like, what's Judith gonna do? Tell her mom that Sam cast a spell on her? Like, it's the ravings of a sick child, and you're not gonna listen to them anyway. Even if, like, Judith was dead serious, and the mom was just like, you really believe this? Psychiatric care, all right. Like, this is just all bad news for Judith, if she's just all on board with, the, like, she cast a spell! But Sam's all like, Corey, you gotta help me. You gotta help me find the magic lady. And Corey's just like, yeah, no thanks, actually. sounds like she did you dirty. I don't want to be a frog. I'm gonna go help my mom with the basement. Peace.
I love that detail. He's like, I don't want to get turned into a frog. Like, he's like, he barely believes it, but he's like, but if it is real, I totally get turned into a frog.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
Not cool. But, so Sam's just like, all right, well, time to do my perfectly great plan, which is to go to the woods. And so she's bicycling off to the woods by herself. And then she sees in the low light of, I don't know what time of year it is. It's chilly. So probably low light of early evening. She sees a woman huddled low at the edge of the road. And Sam yells to her and she says, lady, I want to make my extra wish. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. Yeah. Tells from the back. Doesn't have a good read on the face. Runs up to her.
Hair color.
Yeah. I need to make another wish. And the woman turns around. Looks confused. Because it's a different woman. It's not
with red hair.
It's a different hair woman. It's a different body woman. Completely, maybe even a different species of woman, because clearly not a witch.
Yeah, this lady's like 4'8", 250 pounds, built like a brick oven.
I do like the woman turns around and she's like, I'm sorry, what did you say?
She had a double take. She had an actual double take. I loved it.
Yeah. Have you ever mistaken somebody and you know the feeling Sam's going through, where you're like, oh, you're not who I thought you were. Like, did you ever call your teacher mom on accident?
No. No, I don't think I ever did that, but I understand.
That's the same feeling of like, oh, wrong dude, wrong woman. It's so embarrassing. So she says, she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were someone else. And the whole time, I love it. The mom is yelling at her kid, Tommy, because he's throwing a frisbee around. And she's like, Tommy, don't throw it so hard. Trying to also attend to Sam. Like, what do you want, little girl? Tommy, stop throwing the goddamn frisbee like that.
I like the part where it's just like, Sam thinks like, okay, I think I got away with her not actually hearing me. She's like, what were you saying about wishes? And she's like,
God damn it.
Sam really does have some shitty luck on top of being not a very bright child.
Yeah, she's like, no, I thought you were somebody. And then the lady interrupts her while she's trying to explain. She's like, Tommy, go chase the goddamn frisbee yourself. I'm sorry, little girl. What were you saying about wishes? Anyway, it's a whole thing. Now that she realizes that's not the witch, she's like, oh, better idea. I'll go to where I last saw her. I'm going to go to Madison. That's so smart. She had done that first. And so she heads off Madison way there. Nothing there. Just two dogs at the end of the street barking. She's like, well, that's not a witch. Those are dogs. But she rides around searching. Maybe she'll just get a glimpse of her. I don't know. It's probably been like, what, a week? Like, what is she just going to stand where you left her? She's not a bag of trash. Yeah, she's got feet. She can go anywhere. So anyway.
No. Women, when you plant them, stay where you put them.
I've heard that. Well, then as she's riding around, she sees Judith's house and she gets the idea. She's like, you know what? I'll go check on her. That's what I'll do. I'll be a good person. I'll go check on the girl that I wish to be murdered and strangled for a long time earlier and then wish to strangle further after. And she goes up. Her mom welcomes her up. She gets to go up to Judith's room. She sees Judith. Judith's laying propped up on some pillows. And Judith is as rude a bitch as ever. As soon as she sees Sam, she's like, "Stork, what are you doing here?" Kills me. I'm going to read the conversation. I'm going to read this vile conversation between these two young folks. "What are you doing here?" she asked coldly. Her voice was hoarse. Let me take it back with a hoarse voice. "What are you doing here?" I was riding my bike and..." I stammered, staying by the door. I was startled by her anger. "Riding your bike in this cold?" With great effort, she pulled herself up to a sitting position. Leaning against the headboard, she glared at me suspiciously. I just wondered how you were," I muttered. "Why don't you just fly away, bird?" she growled nastily. "Huh? You are a witch, aren't you?" she accused. I couldn't believe she was saying these things. I was stunned, shocked. It was no joke. I could see clearly that she was serious. "You did cast a spell on us. I know it." "Judith, please," I cried. What are you saying?" "We did a unit on witches in social studies last year," she said in her hoarse voice. "We studied spells and things."
It's kind of ridiculous. I'm sorry. I wasn't going to interrupt you, but when you interrupt yourself, like, I was just thinking how, like, in books or something, you always, or in movies or TV shows, you always have to explain, like, why a character has knowledge that they shouldn't have.
Yes.
You didn't need to come up with an explanation for why Judith knows that witches cast spells. Like, that's such a
unnecessary. Weird... From social studies? I don't think we covered witches in social studies. Anyway.
And spells. The spells, like, we might have talked about the Salem witch trials, but not that's about, it. Like, "And so what you do is you cast Eye of Newt." And it's just like, no, we didn't.
And Sam has the same reaction you and I did. She's like, "That's crazy," I insisted.
"You were jealous of me, Sam. Of me and Anna and everyone else," Judith accused.
"So?" I cried angrily.
"So, all of a sudden, all the girls on the team feel weak and sick, except for you, Sam. You feel fine, right?"
Judith, listen to me," I pleaded.
"You're a witch, Sam,"
she screamed, her weak voice breaking. She started to cough. "Judith, you're talking like a crazy person," I insisted. "I'm not a witch. How can I be a witch? I'm sorry you're sick, really, I am, but..."
"You're a witch, you're a witch. I've talked to all the girls. They all agree. You're a witch, a witch."
I was so furious, I thought I'd explode. I had my hands balled into tight fists. My head was throbbing. Judith had been talking to all the other girls, spreading the story that I was a witch. How could she do such a crazy thing?
"A witch, you're a witch,"
she continued to chant. I was so upset, I totally lost it. "Judith," I shrieked, "I never would have done it to you if you hadn't been so horrible to me." I realized immediately that I'd made a terrible mistake. I had just admitted to her that I was responsible for her being sick. I had just blurted out that I was a witch. But I was so furious, I didn't care. And now, because of all this commotion, Judith's mom runs into the room. Here's Judith yelling shit about witches. And she's like, she's just sick. She's delirious. But Judith keeps screaming, "Witch! Witch! Witch!" as Sam leaves. So Sam, she runs outside. She's like, "God damn, that was not a good decision at all. This was about 10 bad decisions in a row." And while she runs outside, she feels the air of the cold air of the night hit her as she runs outside, and she's like, "I wish Judith would just disappear."
"Very well. That is your second wish," said a voice behind her.
She turns, the woman, she's standing there beside the house. Her glowing ass red ball, she'd snuck up. She heard Judith say that thing about the fucking wish. Now she's got two wishes on the books.
"I shall cancel your first and grant your second." Bum, bum, bum.
Okay. This is where the whole book turns for me. For like a whole section where I'm just like, this is bullshit what just happened. First thing that's bullshit is this, like, I'm just going to randomly say, "Eh. Oh, now you're here. Fuck yourself, lady. Like, why are you here now? I'm glad you weren't there when I made my brother a foot tall. But, like, what is this nonsense? Like, oh.
Sneak attack? I thought you were repaying my kindness. Why are you being a dick?
She even says that. She's like, I'm just trying to make you happy. I'm sorry. She's like, you're not doing a very good job. Like, this is someone who's just like, let me get you a present. It's like, I don't want a present. Let me get you a present. I don't want a present. Let me get you something. It's like, all right, fine. What do you want to give me? It's just like, I'm going to give you this gift card to this store that you have to go to in person.
I don't even like this store. I don't shop at Claire's. They don't have anything for me.
You're welcome. I have two more gift cards. Would you like to trade one in?
Oh, wait, are they both for Claire's, or is either one of them for TJ Maxx?
It's two gift cards for Claire instead of just one.
Oh, goddammit.
Ah, fuck.
I'm going to have to get my ears pierced just so I can shop there.
I lost the thread of that analogy and everything, but it's a terrible thing that this woman is doing to Sam, who has done nothing except be kind of dumb. Sam hasn't really committed a crime. That sideways ponytail thing.
Well, also, just hardcore strangling of that of Judith was not
advised. Judith deserved it.
Sure. Judith. Sure. That's beside the point.
Sam, she's like, I didn't mean it. I didn't even know you were there. But then she falls over, looks up, and Clarissa?
Like, she explains Clarissa. It all, but she doesn't explain much.
Oh, God, I love that show.
Right? Goddamn.
I had such a crush on Melissa Joan Hart.
Still do.
Yeah, 100%. She boogies when Sam trips. Again, you're going to stick around to see if your presence appreciated or like she just books it. Sam goes to Ron and he's just like, listen, Ron, who's her brother. We haven't seen him in a while, but she's like, listen. So 2 days ago, I was talking to this old lady. I told her where to go to Madison Street. You know, the corner of Madison and Main where the whole pharmacy is. Like, she wanted me to take her there. Then she was just like, let me give you three wishes for showing me where the pharmacy is. And then, like, I'm just like, I don't want your wishes. And she's like, take my wishes. And I'm like, I don't want your wishes. Take my wishes. So I took the wishes. I made a wish and said that I want to be the strongest person on the basketball team. And then the basketball team was like, all shit. And then I'm the best person on the team. And so you saw the news when they showed the coverage of the sports ball team at the middle school, correct? Yes. So you saw everyone just like flailing around and being weak, and I was super awesome. But then it turns out they all had a mysterious wasting disease, so I felt really bad about that. So I went to find the witch again in order to like maybe reverse the spell. And then I accidentally got so mad at Judith that I said, oh my God, I wish Judith would disappear. And unfortunately, the lady was behind me, and so she made Judith disappear. And Ron is like, get the fuck out of my room. That's bullshit.
Very well done.
So Sam is just like, I'm going to call Judith again. That's the only way that'll feel right about myself if I continue to poke this angry bear that has done nothing but hurt me this entire book. And yet she's still just like, let me give her a call.
I know, man. Like, I thought at this point, like, dude, why now? You should be over her.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a reason why the book does what it does in the next chapter, because I feel like if it was just Judith, Sam would be like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Just move on with her life. But so she calls, the mom picks up and she's like, oh, Sam, you're just here and turned my daughter into a raving lunatic. Of course, let me talk to my daughter again. When she calls, the phone just rings and rings and rings for three times. But there's no answer. Has Judith disappeared? Bum, bum, bum.
Well, if three rings means no answer, everyone's dead. Four rings must mean they're way fucking dead. Four rings goes by. Five rings. But then, clink. Hello? Judith answered the phone. What the fuck?
Who is this?
She says angrily. Sam's like, oh shit, nice. She's alive. And I gotta be honest, she sounds healthier and bitchier. I think she's fine. This is great. She feels better. She didn't disappear, and she's healthy. Double win. My guilt's lifted. I'm going to fall right to sleep now. And she does, relieved. Not thinking, this is still probably going to backfire. There's no way this is going to turn out fine. Can't. Plus, we're only in chapter 18. She's got to know.
Yeah.
But
we don't even know that Slappy is alive yet.
Like yeah, exactly. So she falls asleep. Has a real good sleep. She needed it too. Let's be honest. She'd been stressed. Yeah. Wakes up the next morning, stretches, confused. Why is it late? Why am I waking up? Why didn't mom wake me up? What in the hell? Shouts for mom. Mom, I'm late for school. What the fuck? No one answers. Now she's confused. She looks around the house. No sign of Ron running around. Realized she hadn't heard her dad get ready to go to work. He's always clanging and banging things around at 7 a.m. on his way to work. Didn't hear that. Didn't hear him leaving the garage. She listens. Huh. I don't hear a radio downstairs. Mom always turns the radio on in the kitchen, listen to the weather. I always want music, but Mom always wants the weather, and that's not on. Wait, what time is it? What's going on down here? What's happening? I'm going to go to the garage. Wait, Dad's car's still here. So I guess he didn't go to work, which means he would be here, but I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody at all. What the hell's going on? Where's everyone gone? For some reason, I can't put together my last wish and the reality I'm facing right now. I need more clues. What's happening? Dum, dum, dum!
I think Sam's problem is she doesn't have a lot of imagination. Like, have you ever met someone or interact with someone who, like, just surface level everything? Like,
yeah, dumb person.
Well, not necessarily dumb person. Like, it's sometimes just like they just can't. Like, they see a forest, but they don't extrapolate that there's trees. If yeah. that makes sense, they're just like, there is a forest. I wonder why it's all green and woody. Maybe a dumb person. Like, it just seems like she never really puts together anything. She never puts together, like, I need to think more clearly when I make a wish. And then she does, and she still fucks it up.
Yeah, like, twice. Judith was real quick to deduce that Sam was the only healthy one and therefore must have cast a spell on us. That was a quick Sherlock Holmes deduction. But Sam's out here like, huh, I wish for someone to disappear and I wake up and everybody's gone. Can't be related. There must be a parade downtown. Let me head on down.
Sam calls Dad's office now because she's trying to reach outside the home. That's what you should do. Like, where'd everyone go? Most parents would leave. My assumption would be like something happened to one of the three members of the family, went to the hospital, left in such a hurry, or I was so fast asleep they couldn't wake me up or whatever. I was a heavy sleeper as a child. Like, you could have, oh yeah, you could have thrown me out a window. I would have woken up in hell. I would have just been like, how'd I get here? And it's like, you got thrown out a window and you hit the ground pretty hard, son. I'm sorry for you. Sorry for your loss.
Sorry for your loss.
The devil's much nicer than he's given credit for. So Sam calls her dad. She's just like, her dad's office. And she's just like, hey, maybe I can find out from his work what's going on. But no one answers the phone at his office. So no one's even at his work, much less her dad. She's like, I need to get to school. This is the most important thing right now. My whole family is gone, but I need to get to school. And I'm not going to have an excuse, no. This is where I'm...
This is the third time you've turned on her.
This isn't the third time I've turned on her. This is just more like, are you an alien? Because if I was 12 and everyone in my family was gone, I would not be going to school. I would be like, what the fuck is happening? And I would stay home until someone told me what's going on.
Yes.
But she decides she's going to get on her bike and head on down to school. So she does, of her own volition, which, again, this is what I'm saying about the lack of imagination. Like, her thought process isn't like, I should go anywhere else but school and see if there's someone around. Like, go next door, go to the neighbor's house, see if there's something going on. She goes to school. And, like, there's no one on the street. Nobody. And she's just like, oh, they're probably all at school. Or work. Gets to school. No one's there. I'm assuming the parking lot's empty.
I thought about that, too. Unless she had to park on the street or something. Maybe she wasn't clear. I don't know. But, yeah, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there's the teacher's lot. Like, you know. But then she's like, oh, there must be an assembly. I'll go down to the auditorium. Child, like, there would be signs that goes down to the auditorium. No one's there. Gym, also empty. There's no one in the building. No janitors, no teachers, no children. At this point, I would have called 911 myself, I feel like. I'd be like, this seems like an emergency. Would you call 911 or maybe anything, the operator?
Imagine calling 911 and then it just rings forever.
Oh my God, haunting. Especially right? With your child.
Yeah.
Instead, what Sam does is she calls home again. Like, you just came from there. You know it's empty. Sure, your parents could have, but something larger is clearly going on. You haven't seen a human being all morning. So she rides her bike around town and continues to confirm that there's no cars or people out and about. And that she's all alone in the world. And this is where it clicks in.
This, yeah, an hour into a personless world.
I feel like not an hour. It's probably been at least 2 hours. Like, she said she woke up at whatever. It doesn't. She's so exhausting. But then she remembers her second wish. The wish where she said, very specifically, I wish Judith would disappear. I don't understand how this gets turned into everybody. Like, what's the ironic twist on this? Like, how do you fuck up? I wish Judith would disappear. There's no way to misinterpret that. Right?
I mean, Judith does disappear, though. Gotta give her credit. She just didn't do, like, a Control H, like, find Judith. She just deleted the whole roster.
Yeah, she did Control A is what she did.
a little Microsoft delete. Word humor for the folks, yeah.
Yeah, people love that. That's the end of the... Nothing more suspenseful than the character getting to where we got at the beginning of the last chapter. Or at the end of the last chapter. Bum, 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 we're still on the same cliffhanger, as far as
we
I'm
are.
Concerned.
We really are, because now she's like, well, it sucks to be alone in the world, but goddamn, my belly's a-rumbling. And so she's like, I'm going to head back home and get some grub. Maybe think about this a little further, see what I can come up with. And on the way back, she also has the realization that all the pets are gone, too, which is kind of sad, because now she's like, oh, shit, now Pumpkin's gone. That sucks. I'm out of dog.
What am I going to eat?
Can't eat the dog.
You can't eat Pumpkin.
Can't. But then she has some, like, interesting... forward-thinking thoughts. She thinks, well, if this is me forever and I'm alone in the world, how am I going to get food when I run out at the house? Can I rob a grocery store? And is it really stealing if there's no one to take it from?
It depends on the salvage laws of your country. Because the salvage rights have, like, specific purpose, you know, like how long it's been abandoned or who's found it. So yeah, salvage rights.
We need the salvage rights, right? Yeah. So on top of this thought, she thinks, you know what? I wouldn't be in this predicament if Judith hadn't been a fucking total bitch. And I'm like, yeah, there you go, Sam. Now you're thinking on the right track. She's like, none of this would have happened if it wasn't for her. I hate you, Judith. She says it out loud. She's in her house now, by the way, eating a peanut butter sandwich. And then while she's sitting there kind of ruminating over her predicament, she hears footsteps coming from the living room. Uh-oh, maybe she's not alone. Ba-ba-bum!
Mom? Dad? No. It's Clarissa.
And she's here to explain it all. Let's go. Let's bring it.
Na, 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 na. So Sam's reasonably angry, I feel like, at this point. Because
yeah.
The first wish, she didn't know what the deal was. She didn't even think the wish was going to happen. Like, and so the fact that it came back on her is just like, I did a nice thing. I did what the nice lady asked and made a wish, and then it blew up in my face. To be fair, the lady might have been like, I don't care if they die. Like, you just said you hated Judith. Why would you care if she wastes away to nothing? It's like, because Coach Ellen could just get more girls on the team. Actually, probably not if, like, Samantha's on the team. Like,
yeah, she's having a rough go with getting people on the team. Yeah.
What was the name of the guy? Who's Clarissa's friend, who always used to climb it. They were must have been like...
Frenchin.
Right? I don't know how old Clarissa and... Sam. His name was Sam.
Ha! Maybe that... Yeah, it was
Wait
Sam.
Wait a second. Is this whole fucking thing just a reference to Clarissa explains it all?
Maybe.
Is that what this is?
Yeah, Sam Anders. That was his name.
Oh, that's weird. Okay, so Sam's like... This is bullshit. Like, I didn't even want to make that as a wish. You snuck up behind me and are like, oh, that's your wish. Boom. And then you did it wrong. Like, I didn't wish for my family to disappear. And Clarissa's like, I granted the wish the best way I knew how. And
yeah,
she's
which is
like,
horse shit.
So what, you, like, at least just Judith's family or something. Like, why do you have to get rid of the whole world? Like, just, you know, have her mom die before she gives birth. And, like, just Judith never existed. That's only two people lost. Like, Sam's now really thinking of how she could have removed Judith. But, like, Clarissa's like, listen, I'm so sorry you're sad. I don't understand why you're so upset. In this world devoid of humanity and pets, that just seems mean-spirited.
Oh, yeah, right? The pets, too? What the fuck?
What a dick move. This is why I'm thinking, like, Clarissa's not actually human, because this seems psychotic in the sense of just like, so you wanted Judith to disappear. I guess I'll cast my everything disappears spell, including Pumpkin. No, it's not even Pumpkin. It actually is Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
So Clarissa's like, all right, I kind of assumed you'd be unhappy with how this wish turned out. It's like, then why did you do it? But she's like, don't worry, you still have your third attempt at this wish, because once you make this wish, you know, things will change up again. No, actually, she does a bullshit thing this time, too. She's like, you'll have your final wish, but it's going to be permanent because it's your final one, so make it a good one. But the first time the fuck-up happened, she's like, it cancels that wish. This time it doesn't cancel the wish. She has to wish it away, doesn't she? Dun, 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 as we'll find out.
Dun, dun, dun. Here it is, the third and final wish. The light from the living room window faded as clouds rolled over the sun. Very important detail, by the way. I want everybody to remember this, where the sun is at all times. As the light dimmed, the old woman's face darkened. She's old now, by the way. Before it was like, we didn't know, but now old. Oh. Sorry, I keep interrupting my own reading with making fun of every detail. Deep black ruts formed beneath her eyes. Lines creased her forehead. She seemed to sag into the shadows. Here is my wish, I said in a trembling voice. I spoke slowly, carefully. I wanted to consider each word. I didn't want to slip up this time. I didn't want to give her a chance to trick me.
I am listening, she whispered, her face completely covered by shadow now, except for her eyes, glowing as red as fire.
I cleared my throat. I took a deep breath. Here is my wish, I repeated carefully. I wish for everything to return to normal. I want everything to be exactly the way it was. Which would be good. That would be good. Stop there. But no, she doesn't, Dylan. She goes, but. And I hesitated. Should I finish this part of it?
No.
Yes. Yes, I told myself. I told myself yes. I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to give myself a treat. I'm going to do a little bit more of this wish.
I want everything to be the way it was, but I want Judith to think that I'm the greatest person who ever lived.
I will grant your third wish, she said, raising the glass ball high. Your second wish will be canceled. Time will back up to this morning. Goodbye, Samantha.
Goodbye, I said. I was swallowed up by the radiating red glow. When it faded, Clarissa had vanished. So there we go. There's our third wish. We didn't need the addendum. Could have just been like, turn it back to the way it was. It's roll credits.
That, this is the third strike. Where I was just like, all right, everything that happens after this is Sam's fault. Like,
exactly. She gets what's coming to her. Everything's back to normal that morning. So time does back up, which leads credence to the fact that this woman is outside of space and time. Mm-hmm. She's able to manipulate time. She takes Sam back. She wakes up that morning all over again. Mom's downstairs. Everything's the way it was described before. Everything's good. Pumpkin's there. She's so excited to see everybody. Dad's already left for work, but that's fine. She's stoked. Her family's a little suspicious about how cheery she is, because she's running around, she's hugging everybody, she's high-fiving everybody, licking the dog's mouth. Like, everybody's having a great time. She leaves for school. She's excited to see people just on the way down the street, waving at all the people, waving at the old ladies out in their yards. Just cheery as fuck. And then she gets to school. She sees Judith with Anna. And Sam's suspecting, you know, something's going to be different. It's got to be. So she says, oh, hi, Judith. And Judith's like, oh, hi. And approaches Sam. And then Judith takes off her ski cap. And Sam gasps. What could be under that ski cap? Is it a red crystal ball? Dum, dum, dum. I'm sorry.
I didn't know when I was supposed to talk.
I know. I mean, that's on me.
Judith had fashioned her hair to look like Sam's.
Oh my God, the audacity.
Sideways ponytail.
Oh. You love to see it.
I hate it.
You don't like it?
I hate the asymmetry of it. It bothers me. It bothers me on just a personal level.
Apparently it does, yeah.
I understand that Sam's a child and does not maybe, like, she has kind of the enthusiasm a child would be, where she's like, everything is the best in the world, or everything is the greatest and the worst in the world. Like, it's always hyperbolic, potentially. And so maybe not understanding that, saying that Judith thinks that she's the best person in the world, what that might actually mean But regardless, Judith is being psychotic. So, and this leads into my next favorite chapter. Like, the next chapter is pretty high next to the basketball fiasco chapter in terms of, like, just yucks per page, where I'm just like, fucking love it. But I'm stuck in this boring-ass chapter, so Judith is, like, really into Sam. A lot. And because Judith is still a trash human being, she expresses it in the worst way possible. And just, like, it's like, hey, can I carry your backpack? And Sam's like, okay. Like, it's weird. That's kind of weird. That's really weird. And what's even better is, like, in this universe, this is not an established fact. Like, in this timeline that Sam has created. So Anna, Judith's friend, is like, Judith, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is this brand is new. It's, yeah. So Anna is just like, why are you... The fuck is wrong with you? You have been abusive to Sam for, like, the last 5 years. And now it's just, are you okay? Like, do we need to, do you need help? Judith is just like, hey, Sam, listen, I really need your help practicing my foul shots. Because, like, I just feel like you just have a much better way of doing it than I do. And, like, the way that you do it underhanded, which I don't know a lot about basketball as even I know.
I love that detail. Like, I want to shoot like you. The good, you know, underhanded.
I think that'll give me more control of the ball. What do you think, Sam? Do you think that'll be a good? Like, you should, like, after school, we should practice, you and me, and I'll work on throwing foul shots underhand. And, like, Sam is like, you're the best shooter on the team, right? Like, that's, I think it would make the team worse if I do that. And Sam is like, she sees the crazy in Judith's eyes. Like, there's a level of fascination here, as if, I don't know, someone's brain had just been turned to 11 and told that Sam is the best person in the whole world. That hit Judith all at once while she's sleeping, just in her brain. Because remember, everything goes back to normal except this thing will happen. Like, this, again, isn't in the fabric of this world. Judith hasn't been crazy this whole time. So all of a sudden, this genie just punches into her brain. Sam over there? You know Jesus, right? You know Santa. Fucking, they bow to her. They're just like, Sam, she can't do any wrong. The Lord God, our Father, he was just like, shit, I'm going to retire. I'm going to put down my trident and sickle, and I'm going to go take a nap. This one's on you, Sam. And that's how Judith thinks of Sam now. And she's like asking to borrow Sam's class notes. She wants to wear the same Doc Martens. Jay is already somehow wearing the same shirt, different colors, because, like, Judith isn't a psycho. She knows she needs to pick colors that flatter her, but she'll go with the same style, you know, same style shirt. And, like, Sam is like, this is okay. I kind of dig it's better than her shitting on me all the time. It's a little weird, a little freaky, kind of into it. I'll roll with it for now. Maybe she'll ease up. And she finds it a little funny. She laughs at it. But soon her laughter turns to horror. Dun, dun, dun.
That's right, because it's not going away. Judith's a leech.
It's hilarious.
Judith
so funny.
Is on her. Won't leave her alone. And Sam's kind of getting embarrassed by all the attention. Just someone following her around at, you know, taking her, picking up her books, opening doors for her, doing all this stuff. Copies literally everything she does. Like, Sam gets up to go sharpen her pencil, turns around, Judith's right behind her, ready to sharpen her pencil. Gets up to go get a drink from the water fountain, turns around, Judith's right behind her. Get a drink of water too.
He even says that, like, she's just like, Judith, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, oh, my throat was dry too. Like, that she does a fake cough.
She's kind of adorable, but yeah. Definitely annoying. And Judith even joins them at lunch, which is obviously something she's never done. In the past, she's tripped Sam on the way to her lunch table every day.
And she's an asshole about it. There's a kid sitting next to Sam already. She's like, move. I want to sit there.
which is actually kind of neat, because it's like, oh, it's still Judith under there. But she just has this one little tweak where she's real into Sam and is still an asshole to everybody else except, I guess, Anna. But she sits with Sam and Corey to eat lunch, which they're like, okay. Because I think Sam was just getting ready to tell Corey, like, hey, Judith's being fucking weird right now. But right before she could get it out, Judith sits down beside of them. But they look over Anna, typically the Judith's hangout buddy. She's sitting all alone on the other side of the cafeteria looking all sad because her best friend isn't over there. Things have changed, Anna. Guess what? Now other kids are starting to, like, pick up on it. They're kind of laughing at him. Like, well, look at those two. They're kind of weird. And it kind of seems like Sam's being a jerk because she's clearly not into the attention. It's funny, Judith even wants to get braces like Sam. Sam's like, yeah, I got to get braces next week. She's like, yeah, I want to get some too. Seems great. That seems like an awesome idea. You'll look great with braces. Braces are fun. I want to get some. Mm-hmm. Later that night, there's a basketball game. And before the game that night, Judith, right before like they're introducing the players, Judith shouts on behalf of Sam, here she is, everybody. Here comes our star.
Oh, God.
Who's like, Sam's not good. She knows she's not good. She does not want the attention of basketball.
This is like being in hell, like to be like the worst person on the team and then the best person on the team earnestly in creepy fat. Here's our star, everybody. He's like, oh my God.
Yeah. And then insists that Sam be the team captain. What does everybody think? We should make our best player the team captain. That's Sam, right? And like most of the time that would seem disingenuous, but Sam being in on it is like, oh fuck. This is not good. Anna is like, no. Actually bringing some reason into the whole ordeal. Like, no, that doesn't seem appropriate. And Judith, real into Sam, sticking up for her, starts a fight. Judith and Anna are going at it. Ellen has to get in there and break it up. Ellen's an adult coach, to remind folks. Gets in there, breaks up the fight. And now we're about to have the game. And this basketball game is a hilarious disaster.
The description of this basketball game, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is the frosting on the cake for me, Anna might say.
As Anna might refer to it. Yeah, so Judith obviously been copying everything Sam does, doing it here. Every time Sam trips and falls because she's a big klutz, Judith goes down too. Every time Sam makes a bad pass, Judith just throws it out of bounds. Every time Sam goes up and misses a layup, Judith runs up, fucking banks it off the bottom of the backboard. All while cheering on Sam and praising her, like, oh, that was, you know, Sam just fucking throws it off a ceiling fan. Great, Sam, that was amazing. That was awesome. Just super into it. Anna the whole time is like, what the fuck is going on? And goes up to Judith and she's like, why are you copying that clumsy ox? Great line. And then Judith is like, oh, no, you didn't. And fucking goes at Anna.
Like an actual fight. Like it's a physical fight. Like
pulling of hair, thrash around. Sam's just kind of watching like, holy shit. Ellen, an adult coach, and the ref, who's just like a high schooler, who's just like twirling his whistle around. He's like, oh shit, a fight. He has to go run and everybody breaks it up.
There's one point where I the way I thought of it in my head is just like it happens in the background where she's just like, at one point, Judith throws herself into the stands because she did earlier, and she waited like a quarter to do it too. Like it wasn't like right after her, but she just I just imagined like while like Sam's talking to someone like coach or something in the background, you just see Judith throwing herself.
Yeah, just flies into the stands. It's so good.
And the fact that you have Sam who is this bad, which already makes it hilarious. Like you can go watch this middle school team play basketball anytime and just watch someone like launching themselves. Now there's two of them. Like, oh my God, like perfect. And last game they were all like fucking stumbling around and couldn't even jump off the ground. And this week it's just like two of them have decided to be insane. An amazing season of the sport though.
Oh, I love it. But it dawns on Sam that, you know what? Having Judith worship me is way worse than when she hated me. I would rather her just hate me and be mean than this. This really sucks. And she kind of thinks like, yeah. Yeah, and that was my last wish. Am I stuck with Judith being like this with me for the rest of my life? Ugh. So game's over. Hilarity has to see. I think they only lose by 15 or 16 points. So it's not that bad.
Mm.
After the game, Judith is still at it. She's like, hey, good game out there, Sam. Great, great job. Do you want to study together? And Sam's like, maybe. And Judith is like, okay, that sounds great. You played a great game. Bye. So back home, already 4 missed calls from Judith. She's like, fuck. Ugh. She goes to bed. Laying in bed, she hears the floorboards creak again. This is a creaky house. Every floor has been creaking. Someone's in the room. Then she feels a hot, dry hand grab her by the arm. Bum, bum, bum.
So this is actually creepy.
Yeah.
It's Judith. And like, Sam's like, how did you get in? I don't even think that would be my first question. It's like, why are you under my bed? We can deal with how you got in later.
Yeah, I know.
But apparently Sam wants the story in order from start to finish. Actually, no. Maybe my first question would be like, what do you want?
What do you want?
What do you want?
And
Judith is just like, well, your back door is unlocked. And, you know, I've been hiding in the closet. I think I fell asleep for a little bit because I waited for so long. But it's been like 6 hours. So, you know, I'm sorry that I fell asleep for a little bit. But then I woke up again and now here I am. And she's there to study.
Yes.
Oh, because Sam said that maybe they could study later. And like Judith is just like, oh, so now we can study. And like Sam's like, you need to GTFO and I need you to go because this is so weird. This is the weirdest. And then it's Dad. And he'd like to know if Sam's on that phone, because you know you're not supposed to be on the phone this late. And that, I think, is the last influence that Dad has on anything.
He doesn't even come in. He just knocks, hey, what the fuck? Oh, don't be on that phone. And stumbles back down the hall eating shredded cheese in his underwear and goes to bed.
Sam is just to get her dad to get away, and she's just like, Judith, you need to leave. And then Judith is sad because her idol doesn't want to spend time with her.
Aww.
And Sam is just like, all right.
I feel like this would be my relationship with Rory Scovel. I'd be like, what are we doing now, bud? He's like, where's my security?
How did you get on stage? I'm in the middle of a set.
Would you like to hang out later? Maybe study for anything?
Sam's had it. She's had it up to here. Even though this is all your fault, Sam, this is literally 100% your fault.
You did this. You said, but. You could have just ended the sentence. You said, but.
But the whole time, Sam is just... Or Judith is just like, oh my God, Sam, the way that you're throwing me out of your house right now is so amazing. I really admire just like your confidence and just like the way that you're like the cheeks are the kind of the redness of your cheeks kind of brings out your eyes. And like Sam's just like, get the fuck, and just kicks her out the back door and locks the door. I think that was like locks the back door. Make sure Judith can't get back in. At the same time, it's just like, you just sent a 12-year-old girl out onto the streets at 10 o'clock at night. I know you're not responsible. She is a garbage human being. Like, nothing good will come of Judith being an adult. So, like, problem solved. Because Sam, like, once again, no imagination, Judith broke into your house, was hiding in your closet for hours, and then decided the best way to wake you up would be to creep out from under your bed.
That's not going away.
So, Sam has her breakfast, gets ready to go to school, gets her bike all ready. And then outside in the driveway, she sees Judith waiting for her. Judith, she wants to walk to school together. But, you know, like, I understand, like, if you can ride your bike, but I'll just jog alongside. You know, that's okay. Like, you could even, like, tie a leash around me and, like, just drag me to school. It'll be fine. And Sam is just like, no! And just... screams and runs. Like, she's had it up to you.
Yes.
And just like,
please,
runs as fast as you can with Judith chasing after her. This isn't like,
this is kind of creepy. I like this part of the book.
And like, Sam like hits the ground because she's clumsy. Like, this is foreshadowed since page one. And like, Judith catches up to her and she's like, Sam, you look so good lying there in the dirt. You need me to help you? Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, so she thinks it's Judith looming over here as we enter the final chapter. But it's not. It's Clarissa. And Sam says, your wishes have ruined my life. But technically, Sam, your own fucking wishes. Well, your last wish specifically.
Yeah, that screwed up everything. Life. Yeah.
The first two, I'm going to say, weren't on you. With the last one, that was all on you.
Yeah.
And then Clarissa replies, I don't want you to be unhappy, she replied. I was trying to repay your kindness. I wish I had never met you, I cried angrily.
Very well.
She raised the round red crystal ball in one hand. As she raised it, her dark eyes began to glow, the same scarlet color as the crystal.
I will cancel your third wish. Make one final wish. Since you are so unhappy, I shall grant you one more.
Sam, you fucking idiot. Sam says that her wish is to have never met Clarissa, which again, stop talking after you say that. That'd have been good enough. She goes further and says, but that she had wished Judith had met Clarissa instead. Ugh. Now there's a big flash of red. This is what happens when the wish has been accepted into the ball. Now, Sam can see Clarissa and Judith talking together from a distance. And Sam thinks, this is perfect revenge. The shit I've been going through with that fucking soothsaying old ball-having hag. Nah, it's going to be Judith's problem now. I'd like to see her make a wish and fucking deal with it. Ah, man, I really did it this time. Sam, you finally did it. And then, chuckling to myself, I strained to hear what they were saying. I was dying to know what Judith would wish for. I'm pretty sure I heard Judith say, Bird, why don't you fly away? But that didn't make any sense. I was so happy, so deliriously happy. I was free, totally free. I suddenly felt so different, lighter, happier. Let Judith have her wishes, I thought gleefully. Let her see what it's like. Tilting my head, I saw a juicy brown earthworm poke its head up from the ground. All of a sudden, I was feeling pretty hungry. I jabbed my head forward and caught the end of the worm. Then I ate it. Very tasty. I fluttered my wings, testing the wind. Then I took off, flying low over the woods. The cool breeze felt so refreshing against my feathers. As I fluttered my wings harder, swooping higher into the sky, I glanced down and saw Judith. She was standing beside Clarissa. Judith stared up at me from the ground, and I guess she got her first wish, because she had the biggest smile on her face. The end.
Bum, bum. Oh.
Sam is a bird. Sam was turned into a bird.
So, when I was a kid, actually, no, I still have the same problem now. Where, as a kid, I didn't want anything bad to happen to the protagonist, because I always want to root for the protagonist, because the author told me to.
Yeah.
So I never liked the endings where the kid gets it at the end. Necessarily. I've changed my mind because I'm no longer a child. I find them upsetting. The problem with the ending to this book is not Sam. Sam deserved it. I'm just gonna put that out there. Sam deserved to be turned into a bird at the end of this book because she put herself in that position by being an asshole. Like, she could have just let the whole Judith thing go, but three times. The first time was an accident. But the second and third time, she was trying to fuck over Judith pretty hard in a fucked up way.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And so, fuck Sam after that. That's kind of like, I'm sorry, but not really. But Judith wins, and Judith is a worse thing. Like, I don't want Judith to win either. Are we just supposed to hope that her next wish is, and then I hope I'm the prettiest woman in the world, and then she gets transported to, like, a place where the whole world is filled with, like, slugs, and she is now the prettiest person in the world. That's clearly, she's better at the wishing thing than Sam was, so Judith isn't gonna get her comeuppance. She's gonna end up being, like, fucking president. That's the other thing. Once she's gotten her petty revenge out of the way, because maybe she remembers that she was, like, super into Sam, and that the Clarissa's like, no, that was all Sam. Sam did that. Sam also made you, like, super sick for a while, and then she ordered you disappeared, and, like, she did a bunch of shit to you. Like, also, she wished me to be here so you'd get fucked over. I'm just saying. I feel like Clarissa dished a little bit.
Yeah, might have. Not a fan of anybody in this book but Corey, and maybe a little bit of Ron.
Yeah, I like Corey. Corey's a cool dude. He'd have been fun to hang out with at that age.
Yeah, in all, yeah, this one, there's a couple parts I liked. I thought it was the funny parts were funny. I thought the when Judith becomes real infatuated with Sam and then chases her, I could see that being creepy. That becomes like an obsession.
See, I liked once Chapter 22 forward, I like, because that's a good cohesive, like, Sam makes the stupid wish. I mean, it makes sort of sense that she would, like, I still want something for me in there. Like, it kind of sucks to make a wish to have everything put back to normal, and that's your last wish. Maybe try and sneak something in that's not so dickish as, like, changing someone's entire personality and ruining their life. Because she was ruining Judith's life.
Oh, yeah. And her own.
And her own. But, I mean, I don't feel bad about that so much. So, like, from that point on, like, I really enjoyed it. It was funny. There's funny points until Judith started, like, really ramping up and then became creepy and unsettling. And then Sam got her comeuppance like she should because she was kind of an asshole. But the second wish, that was forced. The whole world disappearing, like...
Yeah. So what are you rating this one?
I'm gonna...
I'm gonna go 2 red glowing crystal balls out of 7 red glowing crystal balls. I mean, everything about it was low for me. I didn't start with the cover. I don't like the characters. I didn't think it was spooky. I didn't think there was enough reason for Clarissa to do what she did. I don't know enough about her. She had weird decision making. She just wanted to go to a street. She didn't really have a purpose. So yeah, I thought it was kind of dry.
Yeah, at least take her to like a weird alleyway or a doorway and then she disappears or something. Like,
didn't get her motives. Didn't really find it. It's just more of a book where he's just trying to keep the surprises going. Like, the cliffhangers were all weak. There wasn't enough there for me. I'm going to say 2. I thought the funny parts were funny. That's where it's getting a point.
I'm going to give it 1 out of 4 wishes.
1 out of 4 wishes.
1 out of 4 wishes. And you know what my wish would be? They took a second pass at the draft. Like, I just know.
Yeah, I wish that too. I mean, he's cranking them out 1 a month. I mean, I give the guy credit, but goddamn, this one was a skip for me.
I didn't like this one as a kid. I hate the stuff where, like, Judith winning was painful as a child. Like, when you had to deal with kids like that, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, in the book they win too. Go fuck yourself.
No. I think that's gonna goose a whole bump. I think we did it. I think we're gonna wrap it up here. We weren't high on this one, but we're going. You know what? I got high hopes for the next one because why not? Why he can't have 2 in a row that are 2 out of 7 red glowing balls out of whatever I said. Whatever fraction's appropriate. I think that's going to wrap us up. So you can always email the show. Let us know what you thought of this book. Maybe it was your favorite and we've ruined your life. Let us know. We got Goosebumps podcast at gmail.com.
You can also find the show on Twitter at SayCheeseAndPod. That is all one word, no underscores. Just SayCheeseAndPod. You can also support the show on Patreon. It's at patreon.com/polykill. Do I say anything else?
Patreon.com/polykill. And find a chair that works for you. You could end up in the Discord and hang around other like-minded individuals who enjoy Goosebumps.
Also me.
And now, Dylan, it's time to give people a bit of a teaser for the next book we're going to cover.
When Jerry finds a dusty old piano in the attic of his new house, his parents offer to pay for lessons. At first, taking piano seems like a cool idea. But there's something creepy about Jerry's piano teacher, Dr. Shriek. Something really creepy. Something Jerry can't quite put his finger on. Then Jerry hears the stories, terrifying stories, about the students at Dr. Shriek's music school. Students who went in for a lesson and never came out.